Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day.
Today we'll be learning Hilchot Ishut Perek Aleph. We begin today Sefer Nashim, which deals with all aspects of matrimonial relationships. Hilchot Ishut, with which we start off, discusses in great detail the stages of the marriage process and the obligations, responsibilities, and rights of each side. Hilchot Gerushin is about how a marriage is dissolved. Hilchot Yibum V'Chalitza deals with a unique type of marriage bond imposed by the Torah in a situation where a man dies childless and leaves a widow. The last two sets of halachot in this sefer, Hilchot Nara Betula and Hilchot Sota, address exceptional and unfortunate situations, including cases in which a man takes advantage of a young woman and a marriage which threatens to fall apart due to suspicion and mistrust. Each sefer of the Mishnah Torah begins with a pasuk, and the one for Sefer Nashim is from Mishlei Perek Yud Gimel, Torat Chacham Makor Chayim Lasur Mimokshe Mavet. The instruction of a wise man is a source of life, to avoid deadly snares. The Rambam seems to be alluding here to a pasuk in Kohelet Perek Zayin, which speaks of an unscrupulous and immoral woman as a trap more bitter than death, which one must learn to avoid. The pasuk there in Kohelet reports that Tov lifnei Elokim yimaleit mimena. He who is pleasing to God escapes such a woman. Our pasuk from Mishlei suggests that this can be done by following the wise instruction of Sefer Nashim, a source of life for those who put it into practice. The first two prakim of Hilchot Ishut define a number of fundamental concepts which are necessary for understanding everything which will follow in the rest of Sefer Nashim. Halacha Aleph describes how man and woman would join in matrimony in the pre-Matan Torah era and explains how the Torah radically transformed the entire institution of marriage. This will introduce the first of two mitzvot which are presented in this perek, a mitzvah taseh and a mitzvah lo taseh, both of which are critical in delineating the Torah view of a proper conjugal relationship. Halacha Aleph. Kodem Matan Torah, haya adam pogea isha bashuk, im ratza hu vehi lisaota, machnisa leveto, uvoala beino levenatzmo, vetielo liisha. Kevan shnitna Torah, nitztavu Yisrael, shim yirtze haish lisa isha, yikne ota tchila bifne idim, v'achar kach tie lo liisha, shnemar, ki yikach ish isha uva eleha. Velikuchin elu, mitzvat asei shel Torah heim. Before Matan Torah, the way a couple would get married was very straightforward. If a man and woman meet and both wish to marry, he would bring her into his home, and they would perform an act of marital relations, bia or bi'ila, in private. Even after Matan Torah, this is still the manner in which a non-Jewish woman becomes married in halacha, with ramifications for the laws of Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. As the Rambam explains in Hilchot Melachim Perek Tet, Bnei Noach are also forbidden in certain arayot, one of which is Eshet Ish, and the method described here is exactly how a Bat Noach gains the status of an Eshet Ish when married to a Ben Noach. But the Torah requires something else of the Jewish people. When a Jewish man and a Jewish woman wish to marry, he must first do a kinyan to acquire her in the presence of witnesses. We'll read in Halacha Bet that this kinyan is called kiddushin. This kinyan is a mitzvat aseh, based on the pasuk in Parshat Ki Teitzeh, which describes marriage as ki yikach ish isha, when a man takes a woman, and taking is understood to refer to kinyan. Note the careful language of the Rambam. The kiddushin is not the entire marriage, but rather a first stage. Im yirtze ha'ish lisa isha, yikne ota tchila bifne edim. First comes the formal act of kiddushin, performed with witnesses, and only later comes the nisuin, in which husband and wife begin to live together. Nowadays, these stages typically occur together, but in principle, there can be a gap of many years between them, and this was indeed the common practice in earlier times. We note that the witnesses of Kiddushin are not required merely to ensure that the Kiddushin really happened. They are an integral part of the procedure, and in their absence, the Kiddushin is not valid at all, even if the husband and wife and whoever was present who is not a valid witness know that the rest of the procedure was done properly. In the language of Rishonim and Achronim, the witnesses of Kiddushin are Edei Kiyum, witnesses who uphold the entire process, rather than Edei Ra'aya or Edei Birur, witnesses who corroborate that something indeed happened. Even though the term kinyan, in the context of commercial activity, refers to material acquisition, that is not what it means in the context of Kiddushin. As the Rashba points out in his Kiddushim at the beginning of Masechet Kiddushin, A man does not assume ownership of his wife by marrying her in the same way that he owns a field or a slave. The term kinyan needs to be understood in the broader sense of any act which generates a change in halachic status. In this case, the woman becomes an eshet ish and therefore forbidden as an erva to other men. For a fuller discussion of the nature of the kinyan of kiddushin, the listener is referred to the website www.deracheha.org. It is interesting that the Rambam classifies kiddushin in this halacha as a mitzvah. His formulation of this mitzvah in the Koteret is Lisa Isha Biktuba VeKiddushin, to marry a woman through the medium of kiddushin and with a ketubah. The ketubah, which refers to the financial responsibility accepted by the husband toward his wife, is not mentioned at all in our halacha, and we'll only get to that in Prakim Yud and Yud Aleph. The formulation in the Koteret may imply that a man is obligated to marry, and one who doesn't do so is mevatel this mitzvat aseh, like a man who doesn't put on tefillin, or a man or a woman who doesn't eat matzah at the Seder. However, the Rambam's formulation in Halacha Aleph clarifies that the mitzvah is conditional. When a couple wishes to marry, the man is obligated to do this through an act of kiddushin rather than in some other manner, like the one which was practiced before Matan Torah and is still relevant for Bnei Noach. In this understanding, the mitzvah of kiddushin is not like that of tefillin or matzah, but more similar to a mitzvah like mezuzah, which is only obligatory if one lives in a house, or tzitzit, which are only required if one wears a four-cornered garment. Other Rishonim, notably the Rosh in Masechet Ketubot, reject entirely the idea of kiddushin as a mitzvah, and claim that the only mitzvah involved in marriage is that of piria verivia, procreation, which we'll discuss later in Hilchot Ishut. In principle, claims the Rosh, one can fulfill this mitzvah without getting married if he has a pilegesh, a concubine, who can bear him children. More about the pilegesh when we get to Halacha Dalet. This machloket between the Rambam and the Rosh is very important in understanding the nature of the bracha recited on Kiddushin, known as Birchat HaErusin. We'll discuss the details of that bracha in Paragimel and come back there to this machloket Rishonim. Halacha Bet proceeds to explain how Kiddushin is accomplished. I'll read the more common version of the printed text, and we'll discuss the alternate version and how to understand the difficult words of the Rambam in this halacha. Uve'echad mishlosha dvarim ha'isha niknet, bechesef o bishtar o bevia, bevia uvishtar min ha'torah, uvechesef midivrei sofrim. V'likuchin elu hein hanikra'im kiddushin o erusin b'chol makom. V'isha sheniknat b'achat mishlosha dvarim elu, hi hanikret mikudeshet o me'oreset. V'chivan sheniknat ha'isha v'nasat mikudeshet, af al pi shalo nivala, v'lo nichnesa lebeit bala, harehi eshet ish, v'haba aleha chutz mibala, chayav mitat beitin, v'imartza legaresh, tzricha get. There are three ways to do kiddushin. Kesef, monetary transfer, shtar, a document, and bia, the act of marital relations we saw earlier in the context of Bnei Noach. But unlike for Bnei Noach, where bia in private represents the entire marriage process, here we are referring only to the formal first stage of marriage, kiddushin, which requires witnesses. We'll see at the end of Paragimel that even though bia is effective midoraita for kiddushin, it is forbidden midorabanan. The act of kiddushin is also called erusin, and following this act, the woman is called mikudeshet or me'oreset. There are two major halachic ramifications of this status. Anyone other than her husband who has relations with her is chayav mita for violating the erva of eshet ish, and in order to remarry, she must first receive a get from her husband. We note that in modern Hebrew, erusin and me'oreset refer respectively to engagement and to a woman engaged to be married, which is of course very different from the halachic use of these terms. In the version of the text which I read, the Rambam writes that the method of bia and shtar have their origin in the Torah, while kesef is midivrei sofrim. As the Nosei Kelim as well as many Rishonim and Acharonim point out, it is impossible to understand this term in the superficial sense of being entirely midrabanan. We just read in Halacha Gimel that a woman who is mikudeshet using any of the three methods is an eshet ish, and a man other than her husband who has bia with her is chayamita. This clearly indicates that even kiddushei kesef is effective on a Torah level, as Beit Din does not administer capital punishment for rabbinic isurim. Furthermore, the Gemara never says or even implies that Kiddushei Kesef is only effective midrabanan. There is a line in the Gemara at the beginning of Masechet Ketubot which suggests that Chazal may be able to retroactively nullify an act of Kiddushei Kesef, but not a Kiddushin done by some other means. The suggestion is subsequently rejected. Rashi there quotes from his Rebbeim as one possible explanation of this line that Kiddushei Kesef is midrabanan, and hence can be nullified retroactively by Chazal. But Rashi himself rejects this understanding, as do all other Rishonim. It is likely that the Ravid, in his Hasaga here, where he claims that the Rambam was led astray by a Pirush Meshubash, an incorrect interpretation of a Gemara, is referring to that line in Masechet Ketubot. The Kesef Mishnah quotes the Ramach and Rabbi Avram ben Arambam, who claim that the Rambam changed the text of this halacha to the other version, which appears in some printed editions, Ushloshtan Din HaTorah. All three methods of Kiddushin are Mida Oraita. This modification has to be accompanied by a similar one later in Paragimel, where the Rambam elaborates on the difference between Kesef and the other two methods of Kiddushin. Even if this emendation is accepted, we still need to understand what the Rambam meant in the first version of the text, which I read aloud. The answer seems to be part of a broader understanding of the term midivrei sofrim. In the second Shoresh, in the introduction to a Sefer HaMitzvot, the Rambam writes that any mitzvah which is learned by Chazal from one of the Yud Gimel Midot, the 13 hermeneutical tools, including Zera Shava, or Klal Upratu Klal, does not count as a mitzvah d'oraita in the list of 613 mitzvot. Therefore, for example, Bikur Cholim and other forms of Gemilut Chesed don't count as mitzvot d'oraita even though they are learned from the Yud Gimel Midot. The Ramban, in his commentary there, understands the Rambam to mean that anything learned from the Yud Gimel Midot doesn't have d'oraita status in halacha at all, an untenable position for many reasons, and he quotes our halacha as further evidence for this understanding of the Rambam. Kiddushei Kesef does not appear explicitly in the Pesukim, unlike Kiddushei Bia, which is mentioned in the Pasuk quote in Halacha Aleph. The source of Kiddushei Kesef is a Gzera Shava, between Ki Yikach Ish Isha, and the Pasuk in which Avraham Avinu buys Marat HaMachpela from Ephron Achiti, Natati Kesef Hasadeh Kach Mimeni. Just as Kicha in the second Pasuk refers to a monetary transaction, so too Kiddushin can be done using Kesef. Since it is learned from a Gzera Shava, Kiddushei Kesef is described by the Rambam as Midivrei Sofrim. But as we explained, the Rambam does not mean what the Ramban understands him to mean. The institution of Kiddushei Kesef cannot possibly be entirely rabbinic. Rather, even as the Rambam concedes that anything derived by Chazal through the Yud Gimel Midot has the force of Torah law, he distinguishes in terms of fundamental stature between the written text of the Torah and anything which does not appear explicitly in the text. He refers to the latter as Midivrei Sofrim, even when there is no halachic difference between it and something written explicitly in the Torah, like in this case of Kiddushei Kesef. We'll have occasion to see later in the Mishnah Torah instances where something learned through the Yud Gimel Midot really is halachically weaker than that which appears explicitly in the text of the Torah. But in our context, there is no indication that the Rambam considers a marriage initiated through Kesef to be any different from one initiated through Shtar or Bia. A question which the Rambam doesn't address here, even in the Girsa which refers to Kiddushei Kesef as Midivrei Sofrim, is why he distinguishes between Kiddushei Kesef and Kiddushei Shtar. Kiddushei Shtar, too, is not explicit in the Torah, like Kiddushei Bia is. Rather, it is learned from a Hekesh to Gerushim. Just like a marriage can be terminated through a Shtar, the Get, so too a Shtar is effective to initiate a marriage. So why doesn't the Rambam consider Kiddushei Shtar to be Midivrei Sofrim as well? We'll answer that when we get to Paragimel, where the Rambam elaborates further on the three methods of Kiddushin. Halacha Dalet. Kodem Matan Torah, haya adam pogea isha bashuk, im ratza hu vihi, noten la schara, uvo elota al im haderech v'holechlo, v'zohi hanikret kedesha, mish nitna Torah, nesra kedesha, shnamar lo tie kedesha mibinot Yisrael. Lefichach kol habo el isha l'shem znut, belo kiddushin, lo kemin ha-Torah mipnei sheba'al kedesha. Before Matan Torah, if a man would meet a woman in a public area and she consents to sexual relations in exchange for payment, then he would pay her for her services, and that would be the end of their relationship until possibly the encounter is repeated. This woman is called in the Torah a Kedesha, and we are forbidden to engage with her, as the Pasuk says in Parshat Ki Teitzei, Lo Tieh Kedesha Mibenot Yisrael. This is the second mitzvah of this perek, a mitzvah lo taseh, after the earlier mitzvah taseh of kiddushin. Anyone who has sexual relations with a woman as an act of promiscuity, znut, without kiddushin, is subject to the punishment of malkot based on this isser of kedesha. There is an inherent ambiguity in this halacha. The beginning of the halacha seems to describe a kedesha as what we call in English a prostitute, a woman who hires herself out for sexual activity as a profession. This is also how the term is used in Chumash, for example in the story of Yehuda and Tamar in Parashat Vayeshev. But at the end of the halacha, the Rambam seems to expand dramatically the scope of the Isser to include any sexual relations which are l'shem znut, promiscuous, even with a woman who is not a prostitute. In his formulation in the Sefer Mitzvot, the Rambam goes even further, shelo lavo alisha belo k'duba uvelo kiddushin. Here he doesn't even mention l'shem znut, and the implication is that even a long-term relationship with one woman is prohibited midoraita if it is established and carried out without kiddushin and k'tuba. And so too the Rambam's formulation in the Kotera to Hilchot Ishut of this mitzvah is shelo tiba el isha belo k'duba v'kiddushin. That expanded formulation, like in Sefer Mitzvot, that doesn't even mention znut. In Hilchot Melachim, the Rambam defines a pilegesh relationship as one without kiddushin or ktuba, and he writes explicitly that even though a king may have pilagshim, it is forbidden for anyone else to do so. He doesn't clarify there, however, if one who has a pilegesh is in violation of the Isser D'oraita of Kedesha, or if this is only an Isser D'rabbanan. Other Rishonim, including the Ravid in his Asaga here, insist that the Isser D'oraita of Kedesha applies only to a prostitute, that is, a woman who makes herself available to anyone in exchange for money. The Ravid permits Pilagshut entirely, that is, for a man to have a steady relationship with one woman even without Kiddushin. The Ramah quotes this opinion of the Ravid, but immediately afterwards adds that the Rambam would consider a man who maintains a Pilegesh to be Chayav Malkot for the Isser of Lotia Kedesha. This, as we explained, is consistent with the Rambam in his Sefer Mitzvot and in the Koteret, where he forbids any sexual relationship which lacks Kiddushin. However, the Nosei Kelim there on the Shulchan Aruch, including the Chelkat Mechokek and the Gra, point out the difficulty in understanding the Rambam this way in light of his words in the Mishnah Torah itself, not only in our Halacha, where he specifies that the act must be L'shem Znut in order for the man to be Chai Malkot, but also later in Hilchot Nara Betula, Perek Bet, where the Rambam seems to move all the way to the opinion of the Ravid, that the Isser Kedesha is limited to a prostitute and does not apply to other women. In summary, there are three possibilities of what the Rambam believes to be the scope of the Isser D'oraita of Kedesha. Only a prostitute, like the Ravid believes, any act of Bia which is L'shem Znut, and any act of Bia outside the framework of Kiddushin. Most Achronim accept one of the first two possibilities as the Rambam's actual view, though the Ramah explicitly endorses the third and most expansive understanding of the Isser, which has its origin in the Sefer Mitzvot and in the Koteret to Hilchot Ishut. Halacha Hey. Kol she'asar biyato b'Torah v'chayev al biyato karet, ve'en amurot b'farshat achraimot, hein hanikra'in arayot, v'chol achat mehen nikreit erva, kigon eim v'achot uvat, v'chayotzei behen. The rest of the perek classifies the different types of prohibited sexual relationships, aside from the one of Kedesha, which we just learned. The Rambam doesn't go into the details of these Isurim here, nor does he count them in the Koteret Hilchot Ishut. The extended discussion of these Isurim will wait until Hilchot Isurei Bia in the next Sefer. His purpose in listing them here is only to familiarize us with the different types and levels of forbidden relationships, as these will come up again in other parts of Sefer Nashim. The most serious of these are the arayot, listed in Parshat Acharemot, which carry the punishment of karet. Most of them also carry a punishment of mitat beitin in a situation where they were edim and when hatra was given. These include sexual relations with one's mother, sister, or daughter. Halacha vav. V'yesh nashim acherot shasurot mipnei kabbalah v'isuran midivrei sofrim v'en hanikraot shniot mipnei shehen shniot la'arayot v'chol achat mehen nikreit shnia v'esrim isha hen. Aside from the list of arayot in Parshat Acharemot, there are 20 additional women who are prohibited as secondary forms of arayot, shniot arayot. The Rambam describes the source of these as mipnea kabbalah, an oral tradition, and their force as midivrei sofrim. According to the Gemara in Masechet Yevamot, these isurim were added by Shlomo HaMelech as a gzera to keep people further away from the arayot de'oraita. So unlike the Midivrei Sofrim and Halacha Bet about Kiddushei Kesef, the Shniot La'arayot do not have the force of a Din D'Oraita. But we may see on other occasions that they are more stringent and more similar to Arayot than other Isurei Bia Midrabanan. We will skip the detailed listing in the Rambam and just summarize who are included among these 20 Shniot La'arayot. Both of one's grandmothers or step-grandmothers, that is, wives of one's grandfathers, all of one's great-grandmothers and the great-grandmothers of his wife, one's aunt by marriage. There is an aunt by marriage, which is an erva d'oraita, but this is only the wife of one's paternal uncle, and the uncle must be his father's brother through a common father, not a half-brother through a common mother. The shniot include the wife of one's maternal uncle and the wife of a paternal uncle who is only a half-brother of the father through their mother. Continuing in the list of the shniot la'arayot, the daughter-in-law of one's son or daughter, all of one's great-granddaughters, and the great-granddaughters of his wife. Halacha Zayin. Kol sha'asar biyato b'torah v'lo chiyev alav karet, hein ha'nikra'in isurei lavin, v'od nikra'in isurei kedusha. V'tishahem, ve'eluhem, almana l'chohen gadol, grusha o zona o chala, ben l'chohen gadol, ben l'chohen hediot, umamzeret l'ven Yisrael, v'chein bat Yisrael amamzer, uvat Yisrael amoni moavi, uvat Yisrael lifsua daka uchut shofcha, ugrushato achar shniset l'acher, vivamash niset l'zar, v'adayin rishut hayavam aleha. Now that we have completed the list of arayot, including the shniot, we move to other isurei biya midoraita, which are forbidden through a lotase, but which lack the punishment of karet. There are 9 of these. 1. A kohen gadol with a widow. 2, 3, and 4. Any kohen with a divorcee, or a zona, or a chalala. We'll leave for now the exact definitions of the last two women. 5. A mamzeret with a non-mamzer Jewish man, or a non-mamzeret Jewish woman with a mamzer. 6 and 7, a woman born Jewish with a ger from the nations of Ammon or Moab, or with a ptsua daka or krut shofcha. The last two are different cases of men with mutilated genitals. 8, a man with his own divorcee after she was married to someone else, machzir grushato. And 9th and last, a man with a woman who is still awaiting yibum or chalitza, a shomeret yavam, after her husband passed away without children. Continuing in Halacha Zayin, hachalutza harehi kagrusha, v'hi asura l'chohen midivrei sofrim, v'anitinim harehen k'mamzerim, echad zecharim v'echad nekevot, v'isura midivrei sofrim, uv'ilchot yisrei biya yipa'er l'cha mahem anitinim. Just as these shniot are rabbinic extensions of the arayot d'oraita, there are 2 rabbinic isurim which are extensions of the isurei lotase that we just listed. A woman who undergoes chalitza as an alternative to yibum is similar to a divorcee in that she had a quasi-marital bond to the brother of her late husband and was released from it through the chalitza. Therefore, midrabanan, she is forbidden to a kohen as an extension of the isur d'oraita of a grusha to a kohen. A natin is a descendant of the Giv'onim, who at the time of Yehoshua tricked Bnei Yisrael into sparing their lives and allowing them to convert. Their punishment for this act of deception was to be relegated to menial work for the Mikdash, and to be the rabbinic equivalent of Mamzerim, forbidden to marry regular Jews. Halacha chet, v'yesh she'isur b'yatan ba'asei ve'inan mechayevei lavin, u'shloshahin, mitzri v'adomi dor rishon v'dor sheni, echad zacharim v'echad nekevot, uv'u'la l'chohen gadol, lefi shelo nemar be'elu lo yavo, o lo yikach, ela miklal shenemar dor shlishi yavo lehem, atalamech dor rishon v'sheni lo yavo, o miklal shenemar v'hu isha b'tula yikach, atalamech she'ina b'tula v'lo yikach. Finally, there are 3 Isurim Doraita, which have the status of an Isur Aseh. This means that the Torah writes that people meeting certain conditions are permitted to marry, and the clear implication is that others who don't meet those conditions are forbidden. But since the Isur is only implied from what is permitted, and is not stated explicitly, these have the status of a Mitzvat Aseh, rather than Mitzvat Lot Aseh, and therefore there is no Malkot on these, like in the cases listed in Halacha Zayin. The first 2 of the Isurei Aseh are converts from the nations of Mitzrayim and Edom, and their children, male or female, in both generations. The Torah says about these converts, Dor Shlishi, Yavo B'Kal Hashem. Members of the third generation are permitted to marry other Jews, that is, the grandchildren of the original converts, implying that those of the first two generations, the converts themselves and their children, are not allowed. The third Isra'seh is a Kohen Gadol with a Be'ula, a woman who is no longer a virgin for any reason. Obviously, if she is a Grusha, or an Almana, a divorcee, or a widow, then we already know that she is Usher with a Lav to a Kohen Gadol. But if she's a Be'ula for any other reason, then the Isra is Nase. The Torah says about a Kohen Gadol, V'hu Isha Bivtuleha Yikach, implying that any non-Betula is prohibited to the Kohen Gadol. When the Rambam refers to the Isur Aseh later in Perek Dalid, he adds a fourth example of an Isur Aseh which isn't as explicit in the Psukim as these three. If a man dies childless and leaves behind several widows, one of his brothers must do Yibum or Chalitza with one of the widows. Once this happens, all the remaining widows, called Tzarot, are forbidden to all the brothers, including the one who did Yibum. And this too is an Isur Aseh. We emphasize again that this entire list in Halachot Hei through Chet is just meant as an overview, so that we can be familiar with the different types of Isurei Bia as we encounter them later in Hilchot Ishut and other parts of Sefer Nashim. Each Isur has its own details, which we will learn later, mostly in Hilchot Isurei Bia in the next Sefer, Sefer Kedusha.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's Perek of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.